Hey guys, Jason Shellcross of the Fantasy Football Sackos here. Glad to be back. Alex and I have a good episode lined up. We're going to be talking about our favorite running backs for this upcoming season. Stay with us.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Sackos podcast with your hosts, Jason Shellcross and Alex Krogh.
Let's go, Fantasy Football Sackos. Back in the saddle. Had a brief, I don't know, respite away from fantasy. Intermission after quarterback rankings. We're going to do something, I guess. We want to talk about why we had to take a week off, week and a half. It's going to be a section we're calling Life with the Sackos, or I don't know, maybe when life happens.
Sackos Modern Life in honor of Rocco.
There you go. So we haven't recorded an episode in about 10 days, and we try to, our goal has always been to put one out every week. We had to take a break. I had a death in my family. My dad actually passed away about a week and a half ago. Completely unexpected. Talked to him that day, thank God. I've been dealing with that and decided not to record last week. Obviously, really just wasn't ready to in a lot of ways, and still dealing with a lot of stuff right now, obviously. I think understandably so, but it's funny, actually. One of the last things that I talked to my dad about, because we spoke on the phone the day he passed, and one of the things that we actually talked about was the podcast. And I mean, he doesn't understand fantasy football, but he loves talking to me about it because it's something that I enjoy. And, you know, he heard, I believe my brother told him that I was doing a podcast with Alex, and he would just ask me about it and, you know, said, I'm glad you're doing something that you enjoy and it's fun and not hurting anybody. And, you know, it's fun listening to you. And so that was nice. That was unexpected. He's always been a huge supporter of mine. Miss him terribly. And just, yeah. So, love you, Dad. I was thinking about having a Miller Lite, or maybe some brown juice, as he called it, some bourbon, on the show while I recorded tonight. But my dad, just knowing him, he'd be like, no, you gotta be professional. You gotta be professional. And so I didn't, and that there, that was part of it. And the other part was, I didn't know if I'd be able to keep it together. Not that anybody should have to keep it together. I don't know. It's just been a long 10 days, 11 days, however many. But I think I'm ready to try to get my life back on track. And I think that this is part of it and is also a needed escape right now. So with that heaviness potentially behind us, let's talk a little bit about fantasy football or football in general before we get too deep into fantasy sports. Alex, how has your last week and a half been, buddy? I haven't talked to you in a minute.
First off, condolences. Obviously rough. Can't imagine, you know, sucks. So yeah. 2020 can continue to suck on one.
Postponed wedding, lose my pops, and now he won't be there for it. I mean, it's just, the emotions of all of it are just so raw right now. And Father's Day being on Sunday, it's just like, yeah, thank you. Much appreciated.
So, my side, my wife's family, has been in town for literally the last week and a half since we last talked. And,
that's amazing. See, I didn't know any of this.
Yeah. So my wife's, sister has moved in, to help, both with future childcare and, just to be around us a little bit more. So,
that's awesome.
Is looking for somebody to hire. She is looking. So get at me.
Is she, is she older, younger than Hannah? I'm going to guess younger sister.
She's younger. Yeah. Nice. She's 26, I think. Nice. So yeah, we're excited to have her here. Her parents were here, to help move her in from Jacksonville. She set up in our basement. It's going to be great. I'm really excited. I will say that the best thing that has happened to me over the last 10 days to a couple weeks was we purchased an air fryer.
Oh, okay.
And I cannot recommend it highly enough. I can make the world's best tater tots.
You didn't know what you were missing out on?
No, literally, it is so good. I can't even begin to explain. Like, instead of putting tater tots in the oven, you can put tater tots in the air fryer and they're done like 14 minutes later.
Is
like,
it
perfectly crisped up?
Is there a ton of leftover oil and stuff? Like, does it make a big mess? I don't know how this works.
No, there's no oil. It's air.
How does
it's
it like fry?
It tastes like it's fried, but it's like a small convection oven.
What? Okay.
Dude, yeah. Yeah, I'll send you a link to the one we have. It was like $100. It's so good.
Deal.
Like I made like a, yeah. I've just been taking everything and just shoving it in the air fryer at this point. So like even today I'm taking like two pieces of bread, slamming some turkey and some mozzarella cheese on it, and literally just sticking toothpicks in the side in both sides of it to keep the bread from like flying around. And I just shoved it in the air fryer.
You gotta experiment with like fruits and veggies. Like, can you fry something? Like, because it's not oil, what can't you fry?
Yeah, no, so we threw carrots in there.
What?
And they were great. Yeah, it's like a roasted a carrot. Like, do you roast vegetables in the oven ever?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, so you can just do that in the air fryer. So you could do like potatoes, carrots, Brussels sprouts, broccoli, cauliflower. You can throw anything in there.
The closest thing I have to this is we got a pressure cooker, the Instapot.
Instapot, yeah, this is way better.
Okay, all right, I hear you.
In my mind, but that's because I like fried food. So
I also enjoy fried food.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that's great. And then I will just a quick Game of Thrones updates. We're through season one and
you're watching. You're actually watching?
Yeah, so we're in this, second or third episode of season three.
Okay, so what do you think?
It's okay. It can be slow at times. So when I watched one episode of Game of Thrones, which I referenced a couple episodes ago about watching the Battle of Winterfell, so I kind of already know who's like living and who dies and what happens.
You cheated.
Yeah, so there's some people that I'm fairly confident are not going to be around much longer, and so when there is when there's dialogue, extended dialogue, I'll like pick up the phone and check Twitter or something, because
yeah,
I mean they're gonna die, so
that happens.
Yeah, but otherwise I'm thoroughly entertained.
Well, that's good. May you enjoy Game of Thrones. I feel like it goes away from like the first couple seasons, especially like there was a lot of, I'll say there's a lot of intercourse and
there's a lot of sex.
Yeah. There was a lot in the first couple seasons and it was, I think just a lot more gory. It was much more HBO the first season or two. And then I feel like at some point in season like three or four, it really starts to go away from that and more towards just the story itself. So don't get me wrong, there is still some of it in there. It's just a lot less prevalent over time.
Yeah, big fan of some of the characters for different reasons, but I love that the Lannisters always pay their debts. It's just fantastic.
Oh, Tyrion, I think, was always my favorite. The quick wit and banter was just always wonderful.
Yeah,
especially at his own expense.
Yeah, he's skyrocketed. Even though he's, you know, not very tall.
Peter Dinklage is great. All right, so now that we've spent several minutes talking about not football, let's talk about football. Just came out in the news today. Alex, you even told me that some NFL players are now being diagnosed with coronavirus, including somebody we're going to talk about today, that person being Ezekiel Elliott of the Dallas Cowboys.
Theoretically, it makes sense to almost bump him up your rankings, because if he has the antibodies and can't get the coronavirus during the football season, he might be one of the few people that won't get it and have to sit out a couple weeks. I'm just saying, theoretically.
That's certainly a take, I guess. I don't know how I feel about it.
I'm not proud of it. I'm just saying.
I mean, this season of football is going to be the craziest season of football that there ever was. Like, should managers give an extra IR slot? Should there be maybe two extra IR slots?
Maybe.
Like, you know what I mean? Because people are, to think that there won't be cases is just, I don't even, it's just not realistic.
No, I agree.
Especially when you're, you know, running around with 50 other dudes from the other team and your team and everybody, and who knows who's come in contact with who and who's asymptomatic with this. And yeah. So people are going to get sick. Like, what are they going to do?
I have no idea.
And does one lawsuit, like, bring it all down? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm wearing all my Cubs stuff today upon hearing that the MLB is not, they don't know if they're going to have a season, which is really just a negotiating tactic to try to shorten it down to 50 games so the owners still get all their money and the players don't get as much money. But
yeah,
different sport. So, but yeah, when I started doing my research for this, what am I looking at? There are so many people that I don't want to draft in the first round.
Yeah.
And based on what they did last year and what you project out for this year, it's like, I don't want to, like, I cannot justify taking somebody like seventh or eighth overall that I don't even want. So it's going to be really rough. Granted, it is only June. There's a lot more to come, but it, you know, we talked about, do you take Lamar Jackson early? We talk about, you can't miss in the first, second, third rounds. That's the easiest way to win generally, is if you don't miss in those first couple rounds. But there are so many people on here that could miss. So just for me to get into it real quick, if you had to guess, or I guess I can tell you, if you were to look at 2018,
I like this. We're starting off with a quiz question.
Yeah, sorry. So if you were to start and look at the top running backs in 2018, how many of the top 10 running backs in 2018 finished in the top 10 in 2019? Would you like me to read off the top 10?
Can I see if I can? Guess them?
Sure.
Oh yeah, actually, there you go. Yeah, read the top 10. Read the top 10 from 2 years ago. Go ahead.
Top 10 from 2 years ago. Number one, Todd Gurley.
Did not repeat last year.
He did not. He went from 1 to 14.
Yeah. Well, that was. I think that was foreshadowed, and even before people drafted him, they knew that.
Yeah, but 14's fine. And I think that's about where he went overall, actually, from a running back position. So, you know, he was kind of drafted where he ended up. Saquon Barkley went from 2 to 10. He was generally the number one. I was going to say
Saquon repeated. I was going to say that he did repeat. So, okay.
So I'll pause.
I'll let you know if I think they repeated.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey obviously went from 3-1. Alvin Kamara was number 4 2 years ago.
Super Kamario. I think he probably repeated, but if 10 was already taken, did he get 9th?
He did not. He was 12th.
Okay, but that's still an RB1 in a 12 person league.
Yeah.
No, that's still an RB1.
He was probably taking 3rd or 4th overall last year.
Yeah, so he didn't live up to the draft.
Right. Ezekiel Elliott was 5.
In 2018, he was 5?
Yep.
He had the holdout. He repeated.
Yeah, he was 4 last year. James Conner was 6.
Obviously did not.
Yep, dropped to 34. Melvin Gordon was 7.
The holdout, man. Yeah, the holdout killed that.
Yep, finished 23. James White was number 8 2 years ago.
Didn't.
Nope, finished 22. Joe Mixon was number 9, and he went to number 13. And David Johnson went from 10 to 38.
David Johnson, I think, is the biggest disappointment out of that entire group. Everybody else, I feel like there's sort of an explanation. But David Johnson's fall off is just completely unforeseen last year.
So if you're looking at it from a, if you're going to take a running back early of the breakdown from last year, or from 2 years ago, I should say, 3 stay in the top 10, 3 were top 20, 2 were top 30, and additional 2 were top 40. Yikes. So there wasn't like that big of a breakdown. Just to compare it to wide receivers, since we're here and you can kind of use it as a point of reference, 3 stayed in the top 10, so same amount as running backs. 2 were top 20 instead of 3 for running backs. 2 were top 30 for wide receivers. 2 were top 30 for running backs. And 3 were no longer ranked for wide receivers. Those that completely fell off were Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Adam Thielen were top 10 wideouts the year before that did nothing. So if you're looking at it between the two, the running backs are probably less bust-proof, technically. Yeah. Like, they're going to at least get you something in return. Versus wide receivers seem to be more boom or bust, potentially.
Right.
So I have more for you.
Oh,
this is very statty.
I love being educated. Teach me.
I apologize off the top. The top 10 from last year. Of the top 10, 3 were in the top 10 the prior year. Okay. We already discussed that. It was Zeke, McCaffrey, and who was it? And Saquon were the top 3 that stayed there. 2 more running backs that became in the top 10 were top 20 the year before. 4 were 21 through 30, and 1 was 40 plus the year before. So when we're talking about running backs, there is a lot of potential for these people to climb up and to climb down. And the biggest indicator in my mind is touchdowns, because it just makes sense. They're worth more points. The more touchdowns you score, the more points you can get. So last couple stats, I'm coming out strong on your,
I like it.
In 2018, and I have this for 2018 and 2019. In 2018, if you scored 10 or more touchdowns in 2018, all of those backs were in the top 10, except for one. And it was Derrick Henry. And he was like 14.
Really? Well, he doesn't catch any balls.
Correct. In 2018, if you scored 7 or more touchdowns, 18 players did it. All were in the top 25, except for Alex Collins, who got hurt for Baltimore. Okay. In 2019, if you scored 10 or more touchdowns, there was 10 players. Or no, sorry, there were not 10 players. There were, and I'll run it, but all of them were top 10 running backs, except for Todd Gurley. So if you had 10 or more touchdowns, there were 7 of them. They were all top 10 running backs, except for Todd Gurley. If you had 7 or more touchdowns, There were 16 players that did it. All of them were top 25, except for Sony Michel.
Who's bad at football.
Who's just bad. Yeah, he was 29. So if you can find the guys that scored the touchdowns, those are going to be the top backs.
Okay. I'm going to use this against you later because I don't like some of your rankings. But
that's fine.
I want guys that I think are the least likely to be in a timeshare, who simultaneously I think are on offenses that will potentially end up in the red zone and afford them the opportunity to score these ever so valuable touchdowns. And some of your players I question. And we'll get into that. Let's be honest, people. Do you want to get into these rankings and just dive in?
Yeah, fire away.
All right, so let's preface this with the fact that Alex and I are very similar in our top 12, and I think that's what we're going to talk about tonight is our top 12 running backs. Where we really differ, I think, and is going to be fun for the next episode, is running backs 13 through 24. But I think
I have a couple that are a lot higher than you, though.
Yes. There's a lot more variance in the last six of the top 12 than the first six. Our first,
yeah, no doubt.
So another preface is we are assuming health for players like Ezekiel Elliott, and we are assuming signed contracts for players like Dalvin Cook, who are currently threatening a holdout that may last into the season. Obviously, this being the middle of June, I mean, if he's talking about holding out in August, September, I'm not going to be like one of those guys that's like, well, he's going to show up on practice day one and he's going to be there. Like everybody said about Le'Veon, and then Le'Veon didn't play for a year. Like,
and everybody also said it about Zeke, and then he was there the first week of the season.
Zeke got a contract, though.
Yeah, but it wasn't until like after drafts were done. It was like 3 days before the season started.
Yeah, absolutely. But like he said, I'm holding out till I get a contract. He held out. He got a contract and then he showed up. Melvin said, I'm holding out till I get a contract. Didn't get paid. Missed half the season. Had a horrible whatever you want to call last year, and now isn't with the team anymore. So, I mean, I always err on the side of caution and take them at their word. If they say they're going to hold out, then if Dalvin's still holding out in September, I will not draft him, and I would love to replace his number four ranking with a gentleman by the name of Alexander Madison. But
his name is Alexander Madison.
There we go. We got some singing. We're ready for this. All right. First four, I think, are the consensus top four in everybody's rankings. We have Christian McCaffrey, Alex and I both do, at number one, consensus number one. Averaged a shave under 26 points per game last year. What, six points more than the number two running back? Insane 7 points more than the next highest scoring running back on a per game scoring basis. Now, is CMC overvalued?
No.
Does Matt Rhule scare you?
I don't care.
What if I told you that in Matt Rhule's last year at Baylor, he had three different running backs all have more than 100 carries?
Yeah, none of them were Christian McCaffrey.
Okay. That's
college.
That's fair. So we think he's still going to be the 97% usage guy that never comes off the field, and he's still going to get, and the offense won't change, and he's still going to have 100 catches and however many insane targets.
I mean, he had 19 total touchdowns last year. You can literally take all of those touchdowns away, and I think he's still the number one back.
But the change in offense
from last year, that's insane.
The change in head coach, offensive scheme, and quarterback don't scare you or make you nervous at all.
If they hired a new head coach and he can't figure out how to get the ball into Christian McCaffrey's hands and he is an offensive mastermind, then I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. I guess my point being is that if all they had to do was put the ball in Christian McCaffrey's hands, then maybe they would have won more football games. And maybe that isn't how they win football games, because they didn't win a lot the last few couple of years.
Yeah, but I mean, who's throwing the ball?
Hey, Kyle Allen demands your respect.
I mean, Kyle Allen had 60 interceptions last year.
Well, Jameis has had 30, and he's a professional quarterback as well. So, and he threw almost twice as many.
Whatever. Christian McCaffrey is clearly the number one. If you have the number one pick and you don't take him, you're really rolling the dice. And last year, you know, I had the number one pick in two different leagues. I took Saquon. I immediately regretted that, my decision.
Did you really?
The entire year. Yeah. Huh. I hated it. I hated it the whole year. Because, not because Saquon was terrible, it's because he got hurt. But just because
CMC Christian was so good.
He's just so good.
He was.
So, it's the number one pick. We don't really need to bug you with statistics because, I mean, it was absurd. He had 141 targets. He had 116 catches.
That's insanity.
Yeah, I mean, he had 1,000 yards receiving, 19 total touchdowns. He's the number one guy, and there's not really a close second.
And then I have Saquon at number two, as do you. Averaged a shave under 17 points per game last year. However, he did get hurt, miss time, and then come back and play hurt, obviously hurting his production. His quarterback, Daniel Jones, missed time. New offensive coordinator, Daniel Jones, hopefully healthy. The rest of the cast and crew, hopefully healthy as well this year. I think Saquon is going to have an up year this year if everything goes their way.
Theoretically, yes. It's hard to tell with some of these guys, right? Because inherently, you want running backs that are on winning teams.
Yeah, right. I mean, we talked about they need to be able to score points, which means they need to be able to get in the red zone to score those touchdowns. Yeah.
So if they don't, like, if they're not scoring touchdowns, because again, I'll get into some a little bit more later with, you know, getting some goal line carries, but it's like, if they're not going to score touchdowns, then it's really, really difficult for running backs to be top 10 if you don't have, you know, 8+ touchdowns. Now, I know that's only one every two games, but still, that's, he should have that easily. And I would say that, you know, because of Jason Garrett becoming the offensive coordinator, Zeke's always been a monster, you know, always consistently top five since he came in the league. So if you can just take Zeke's production and drop it into Saquon, Saquon's a better receiver. Daniel Jones, year two in an offense, and he'll learn how to get the ball over to Saquon. And plus, you do have Evan Ingram coming back, who is good when he's healthy. Tate's there when he's healthy. Shepard is there when they're... So, you know, that offense should look a little bit different. And to your point, you love Danny Jones. So if he is... If he's able to get Saquon the ball, Saquon, I think, is the... I mean, I know Christian McCaffrey's really fast, but, you know, those runs a couple years ago before Saquon hurt his ankle, like, he would hit a hole and he would be gone and you can't catch him. Yeah. So because of that game-breaking ability, that's why he's got to be two. He was basically number one or two last year. We have him in the same spot, and he's up there. You know, it's hard. We have him at two, but you can take Zeke there, and that's fine. If you want more of the reliable Dalvin Cook, between Zeke and Saquon, there's very little difference.
So if we're talking about their ability to score touchdowns or opportunity to score touchdowns, if I had to rank these four. Because I think CMC, I think McCaffrey is probably his own little baby tier at one, just because of his insane usage last year.
Yep.
But then I think the next three guys are all on their own tier. Maybe Kamara, if you could maybe put him in there.
The problem with Kamara, though, is I mean, because they have Latavius Murray and him vulturing some of those touchdowns. I mean, Latavius had five touchdowns last year. And if they're going to be messing around with Taysom Hill at the goal line and
try, like they
do a lot of cute stuff down there to get Michael Thomas the ball on screens and things like that, too. So that's why you have to have a little bit lower. But if that touchdown
it's McCaffrey and then Barkley, Elliott, Cook. And that's the order that we have them in. But if I had to rank them by, you know, offense potency or ability to score, I would probably do Zeke at one. I think I would probably do Dalvin at two. Christian McCaffrey at three and Barkley at four. Or maybe Barkley over McCaffrey.
Yeah, just from a potential scoring offense.
Yeah,
Giants defense isn't good, so they're going to have to score points. So
right, which means that they're going to have to throw, and maybe that means worse game scripts for Barkley. I mean, there's so many things to think about.
Yeah.
But I think any four of those would make a great RB1, assuming that they're all healthy and have contracts.
Yeah, I agree. The question ultimately comes in is, where do you want to take Michael Thomas?
Would you take
before some of these running backs? I'm just saying that it's possible.
All right, no. You need to like buzz, slap, yell, scream when you would take. I'm assuming Michael Thomas is your wide receiver one. When you would take a wide receiver over any of these guys? Because for me, I'm taking a running back over all of them. Or all.
Okay. So that's fine.
Any of these guys over Michael Thomas? I mean,
but I would also say Michael Thomas had more points than all of them last year.
More okay, yeah.
So I mean, Michael Thomas had 300 points. Christian had 413, and then all the other ones were under. So Zeke had 285. So I mean, on a per week basis, that's a point. But you know, you can do whatever you want. It's whatever you want to plan for.
So would you take Dalvin Cook or would you take Michael Thomas?
I would take Michael Thomas right now because of the contract situation. I would take Michael Thomas over Dalvin Cook. Before we started this and I sent you my rankings, I didn't even have Dalvin Cook ranked because I didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
So specifically, I would definitely take Michael Thomas over Dalvin Cook if we were drafting tomorrow. No doubt.
All right. So consensus 1 through 4 are McCaffrey, Barkley, Elliott, Cook. Is there anything that you want to say about Zeke? Are you concerned about the new coaching staff?
No. The Cowboys have so many weapons that's
my concern.
That's the only concern. And, you know, if they're smart about it, if they are blowing people out and Dak is throwing for, you know, 330, 350 yards a game, and you have CeeDee Lamb and you have Cooper and you have Gallup, you know, it's just, are they going to get up 14 and just turn around and keep giving the ball to Zeke? They might. Now, if you're up 14, why would you not put the backup running back in and keep the miles off of Zeke and keep him ready for the playoffs?
I can especially see if he ways. Has Corona.
Well, yeah, I'm not worried about that. I mean, he has it now. He'll be fine the rest of the season. So
yeah,
we're hoping. So yeah, I mean, again, he's consistently top five every year. He went from 5 to 4. If you can take that consistency and you know you're going to have a top 10 back at worst, I think it's pretty good to go ahead and take him the top 4. I think that's reasonable.
Yeah, I agree. McCarthy leading the league in terms of percent plays being pass plays a couple years ago with the Packers doesn't really scare me. He had Aaron Rodgers and I don't know, a really young, maybe even rookie Aaron Jones with him. And so not really the type of backfield that you lean on at that time. So I understand.
Yep. Yep.
And Dalvin Cook for me at 4, I mean, if Cook isn't there, it's going to be interesting in a few months if Cook isn't there still. and we're talking about where you draft Alexander Mattison at, I mean, he has to go as an RB1. Because Alexander Mattison would be an RB1 for as long as Alexander Mattison was the starter for the Vikings. So,
but there's a million things he hasn't done. Just you wait.
Yeah, we'll see.
There'll be like six people that get that reference. I apologize.
I was not one of those six.
It's okay. You should watch Hamilton, by the way. It's coming out on Netflix in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. You mean like the play?
It's a musical, actually.
Excuse me. Musical. Yes. Don't mean to offend. Yes, I have not seen the musical, but yes, I did hear amazing things about it, and I've seen clips and Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Did yeah. Right? So once you watch that, you'll, similar to Fat Eddie Lacy, you'll have to sing, Alexander Mattison.
There you go.
So
you could just keep singing it for us.
I will every time I say it, actually.
All right. Consensus.
I'm sure you're all Tana thrilled.
There we go. That's what I'm looking for. That's what the people want. Consensus number 5, Alvin Kamara. I have him at 5. You have him ranked at 7, below the likes of Derrick Henry and Leonard Fournette. So Alvin Kamara averaged 14.9 points per game last season. Obviously not where the output didn't match the draft position last year. On a points per game basis, he finished as running back 9. He did not finish there in total points, as stated earlier. However, I don't fault people for missing weeks. I think it sort of goes with the territory with fantasy sports. I think Drew Brees also really affected his scoring output. He just loves Michael Thomas, man. Those little 5-yard dink and dunks to Michael Thomas were incredible last year. But his ceiling, I think, is maybe almost just as high, just like this much, maybe this much lower than the people above him. If were it not for Lat Murray lurking in the backfield.
So that's actually one of my biggest things, though, because so last year he averaged 12 carries a week and 7 targets per game.
Wow.
It's really difficult to be a top running back with, unless you're like, and going back a couple years ago, I mean, the dude was electric, but it's like, if you're not getting like a big workload, it's hard to
seven targets is a ton.
No, I'm not disagreeing with the targets. I'm just saying that the carries aren't there and those goal line touches are going to Latavius Murray. Yeah. So, I mean, I have him at 7, you have him at 5. I like my ranking better because that's my ranking, but the potential just isn't there unless he's just going off. But he was hurt last year, so that explosiveness was reduced a little bit. He said he's ready to go for this year. So if he doesn't get banged up, if Drew Brees is healthy the whole year, who's ancient and not a guarantee, it's hard to. It's just hard to know if what he's going to give you on a weekly basis. And I feel like he's more of a boomer bust guy, similar to like Amari Cooper, who will give you those huge weeks and then might not have a huge week for you. Just that's how he comes off. Last year he had weeks of 6.5, 4.3. Everything else was over 10. Those weeks were against the Rams and 49ers. So overall, he's going to give you 10 points a week. So he is consistent. He probably finishes as a top 10 back this year. We have him ranked as such, but it's hard to know what his explosiveness is. But to your point, he missed 2 weeks and, he finished 12 last year. So probably a top 10 back, assuming health.
I agree with all of those things. And Alvin Kamara, I think, has just skill. I mean, he's so fun to watch. He's so freaking elusive. Let's move on to running back six consensus. Derrick Henry. I feel dirty ranking him this high. And before everybody points to him leading the league in rushing yards last year, I get it. I understand it. But these are half point PPR rankings. And Alex, the statistician, I'm going to put you on the spot. How many catches did Derrick Henry have last year?
Can I look just because I have it handy? Sure, he had 18 catches.
I was going to say a whopping 18.
Yeah, one a week.
Like, how in a half PPR ranking, how do you rank a back who catches one ball a week in the top six? And the answer, ladies and gentlemen, is pure yardage, pure rushing yardage, and touchdowns.
Yep.
And he produced, and the year before that, in 2018, like the last four games of 2018, the Titans made the shift, and they stuck with that shift to Derrick Henry in 2019. I don't think that offense changes. It got better with Tannehill.
Whoa.
Then Mariota?
You said his name wrong.
Tannehill. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Derrick Henry is six consensus. I had to put the man at eight in my rankings just because, like, catch a ball, have more, catch two balls, three balls a game. I don't know. I mean, if the rushing yards aren't, if they get behind and they can't run, what happens to him? They didn't get behind a lot. They were in basically every game and they were a playoff team and they won a lot of games. And so they didn't have to go away from Derrick Henry, but like, oh, one ball a game? How do I rank you that high? I don't know.
Yeah, so very touchdown dependent. He had 42 carries inside the opponent's 20-yard line and scored on 13 of them.
Whoa, yeah, baby.
For those of you keeping track, that's a 25% rate. Mm. When he gets the ball inside the 20, he scores a touchdown. Mm. That's very hot. It's very high.
That's manly.
So if he were to keep that up, then yes. But to your point, you know, I have him at five because of the touchdowns. And I actually had him at four, but you made me put Dalvin Cook in front of him. So, I mean, the dude is just a beast. You know, if assuming he stays healthy, he's going to run over that AFC South, the Colts, the Jags, and the Texans. He's just a beast, and that entire team just has the mentality of I'm going to run you over, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it to stop
him. And they do it well.
Yep. For comparison's sake, to Alvin Kamara, Derrick Henry only missed 1 week. It was week 16 against New Orleans, so it was a killer for the fantasy playoffs because he got dinged up. He had 3 weeks under 10 points. Last year, he was over 30 in two of them. The last week of the season, he had 39. Kansas City had 32. And then week one, he had 28. So dude was more consistent from a higher consistency ranking. He consistently had more points than Kamara did last year. But, you know, in those weeks that they do get behind, he's not catching balls. So if they're going to turn around and give him the ball 15 times and he's only getting 3 yards a carry and doesn't score a touchdown, you know, you're going to end up with a week where he only gets 6 points. And that can be rough to get out of your RB1, especially if you're going to, especially if you're taking him like pick six, pick seven, pick eight. You know, is that something you want to be drafting there when, you know, half a point PPR, full point PPR? Or are you better off taking the wide receiver or other running backs to get more receptions?
Yep. Absolutely. Average 19 points per game, tied for running back two on a points per game average last season. Derrick Henry, they have to keep winning ball games in order for him to keep up that output. And they're down 20. If they're down double digit points, like, he's not on the field. I don't know. But they were in every game, and he scored a lot of points, and he ran for what 1,500 yards, and he had a great season. So,
yeah, again, it's a pick that you're looking at and you're staring at. It's at, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, and you're like, do I really want to deal with this and not get those catches?
Yeah.
But the upside's clearly there. But are you better off taking Julio or?
He's my running back 8. I don't think.
Yep.
I don't, maybe 8 running backs go in the first round. So to me, I would still be drafting him at the end of 1. I have Kenyon Drake and Josh Jacobs in front of him.
Derrick Henry was running back 3 last year.
Yes. Yes, he was.
So
he caught 18 passes.
No, I get it, but he was still running back 3. He did it last year.
He did. That he did.
But you don't want to pay for past performance.
Right. Let's move on from consensus number 6, Derrick Henry, to consensus 7, Kenyon Drake. I have Kenyon Drake at 6, as I just mentioned. And you have Mr. Drake at number 8. What can you tell me about Kenyon Drake?
I don't really want to draft him that early.
Oh, no. See, I like him more. I like him more than Derrick Henry. I love him, man.
He won so many people fantasy titles last year.
His last 3 games.
Yeah,
38 points, 30 points, 14. He won titles and he was on people's bench before that. Like. And then you add. You had DeAndre Hopkins to it, like, oh, how do you not? I just want a piece.
No, I know. It just doesn't seem that sexy to me for whatever reason, because it's Kenyon Drake, and I just get flashbacks of him playing for the Miami Dolphins. And
you mean getting Adam Gase?
Yeah, he was getting a good point. I just can't, like, I mean, I have him at 8. That's not terrible. You have him at 6. He's still an RB1, clearly. Just for some reason, the name just doesn't do it for me.
Oh, it does it for me. It does all of it. It just does it. And I like what it does. And I just want a little more of it every time. I'm going to have Kenyon Drake in so many leagues because I'm going to overdraft him because I'm just falling more and more in love with that offense. And I just want it. I want Kenyon Drake. So everybody in our league, watch out. The next boy is also mine, him being Josh Jacobs, consensus number 8. I have him at 7 on mine. You have him all the way cratered at number 10 on your rankings. He was running back 13 on a points per game average last year, averaged just right at 14 points per game. That is with playing, I don't know, 2 months with a broken shoulder blade and not being on the field on third down. So to me, that's like the floor. That's not the floor. That's like the basement. Like, homeboy played up through a broken shoulder blade, would go into the locker room, get hydrocortisone shots, come back out and score tutties and be the man for the now Las Vegas Raiders. He is going to be a 3-down back with Washington no longer on the scene. Josh Jacobs could find himself in like the top 4 or 5 next season if
he
pans out. Like,
yep.
The youngness is there. I feel like you have to be young because the running back careers are so fleeting. And he's such a stud. And the workload, I think, is going to easily be there. I think he definitely has 300 plus touches this season. So Gruden's already come out and said he's a 3-down back this season. So Josh Jacobs, I think, is just as talented as any of these guys. I think that he's going to be a steal at number 7 and doesn't have maybe some of the concerns of contracts and maybe vultures and offenses and like being the number 2 target or weapon on an offense. that is the Josh Jacobs weapon offense. There's no Michael Thomas on there stealing gimmicky goal line. There's no Taysom Hill. Like, that offense is Josh Jacobs. So I could definitely see him finishing higher than seven. Or seven, yeah. In my ranking, eight consensus.
Yeah, I agree with you of you know, because DeAndre Washington's not there anymore. So if you can take those catches, and I'm not saying it's possible that he goes like Christian McCaffrey, scorched earth on the league. But like, theoretically, if there is one guy that has that upside, it's probably Josh Jacobs. Because if they're checking down to him and he takes his catches plus Washington's catches last year and gets in the 60-70 catch area and is, you know, doesn't have a broken shoulder, you know, he was running back 17 last year, so that's all right.
Yeah, points per game average was running back 13.
Yep, and he was 18 overall. He missed three of the last 4 weeks and he was playing with bad shoulders. So I mean, top 10 should be his absolute floor. And I would say of all the running backs that we've talked about, he has the best, you know, after the first two or three, I think he has the best potential to be a top five back this year. The question is, do you want to pull the trigger on him?
Yeah, you're going to be deciding between Josh Jacobs and like DeAndre or Devontae at that point. And it's going to be like, or do I take Lamar?
Yeah, so it's ultimately a call, but you know, for lack of a better way to put it, he's very similar to Dalvin Cook was last year, who, you know, kind of had that a kind of a sneaky good season, even though Dalvin was coming off of a torn ACL.
Yeah,
and so he's right in the range that you can easily see the hop up from where he was last year at 18. Easily into the top 10, could be a top five back. So the upside's there. And to your point, he is getting the ball a lot. He's never coming off the field.
Yeah.
And he's just seems like a down to earth good guy too, from what I've read. So
great Twitter follow.
Yeah. So I think he has the highest upside. Whether you get it or not, I don't know, because I don't know if John Gruden's still a good coach or not. He is not really proven much over the last couple of years. We don't know what their quarterback situation is going to look like. If they abandon Derek Carr and go to Marcus Mariota or Nathan Peterman, it's like, do you really want to be dealing with that all year? And, you know, they're going up against some pretty good offenses out in the West with, you know, having to go to Mile High. The Broncos offense is going to be better. Kansas City's offense is going to be better. No idea what the Chargers are bringing to the table this year. So I think we have him fairly ranked, but he is the highest upside potential, I think, of this area. I think he's like of him and Kenyon Drake. You know, they're very, very, very similar, I think.
Okay, interesting. So we got some interesting players coming up. So let's talk about consensus number 9, Miles Sanders. I think
another guy, very similar. The last three are all those young guys, three down backs, high upside if they can get the receptions.
So yeah, I like this offense too for Miles Sanders, being that I don't think that there's necessarily a ton of daunting weapons. There is Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. I don't think Alshon Jeffrey is a huge weapon anymore these days. So I don't know.
Was he ever a huge weapon?
Speaking he had like one fan. Or two good seasons with your boy Jay Cutler.
But he was always the number two guy to Brandon Marshall.
He was. And Marshall had a couple good seasons too. But I guess Miles Sanders, like, I know the offense is going to run through Josh Jacobs. I don't, and Josh Jacobs is probably number one in top one, two, maybe number two or three passing option. Miles Sanders could be like the fourth passing option. Like the tight, that offense runs through the tight ends. You have Alshon. I don't know. I don't, I, He had several good games when he did take over after Jordan Howard went down at the end of the season. From week 13 on, he averaged 18 points per game and was running back 4 in points per game average. So, like, the ceiling's there. He can do it. And he, you know, first year in the offense, I think that the ceiling's there. So he could have a huge year. The Eagles did come out and say, you know, after the whole big the leak on them trying to find or trying to sign Devonta Freeman, they did come out and say that really all they're looking for is to sign a veteran back just to basically have a very minimum role behind Miles Sanders. So what that really, I think, says more about is Boston Scott not being able to see the field than it does about Miles Sanders' workload being impacted. So I think his workload's there. I think that this is probably about where he'll finish, like fringe, low-end RB1, high-end RB2, somewhere in there. Let's move on to consensus number 10. I feel dirty with this ranking because I had him higher and then I moved him lower. And now I'm looking at it and I think I want to keep moving him lower. And his name is Austin Eckler, coming in at consensus number 10, my number 12, Alex's number 9 running back, half point PPR scoring this year. Alex, why will Austin Eckler finish inside the top 10?
Cause he was number 6 last year.
Okay.
I think it's a fair place to start. 92 catches, almost 1,000 yards, receiving, and 8 touchdowns. I've talked in the past about, you know, the top receiving running backs being the higher floor type guys. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to take him here. Like,
then why did you rank him here? These are your rankings.
Because I think that's where he goes.
So these are where you think people get drafted, not where you would draft them?
Yeah. So, I mean, ESPN's current PPR rankings have him at 9, 16 overall. If I'm sitting here and I have to take Austin Eckler, I'm either taking a tight end or I'm taking a quarterback and just banking. I mean, the running backs are oddly deep, and there's a lot of them that I would feel just as comfortable with as taking Austin Eckler. So I think this is where Austin Eckler goes. I'm terrified of his quarterback situation because I think it's very difficult for him to repeat having 90 plus catches. So if Justin Jackson's getting the goal line carries, then I don't want anything to do with any of this.
Okay. So I don't think that really has a chance of happening. And for me, it's because weeks 1 through 7 last season, Melvin Gordon was not on the field. And in those weeks, Austin Eckler averaged almost 19.5 points per game, which would have been RB2 on the season. So Melvin's gone again. The only difference, it is a big one. The only difference is Tyrod is now leading that team. Tyrod is not the same check down machine that Phil Rivers was. I worry about Eckler's passes or receptions going down because of that. I just don't know. I mean, it's hard to pick on or to pick a 5'8", 5'9" running back as your RB1.
I know. How much bigger is Christian McCaffrey than him, though?
I don't know. I would bet that he's bigger. 5'9", 5'10", 5'10", 5'11". I don't know. But Eckler just looks so. I worry about the durability there. I think it's going to have to be some sort of committee, maybe at some point. I'm not sure. But for the first 7 weeks without Melvin, he was averaging more than 19 points a game and was an absolute freaking monster, especially in PPR formats. Consensus number 10 because of that. I don't think I'm going to end up drafting him. I wouldn't be surprised as the season gets closer if you see the rankings and maybe the ADPs drift a little bit because of all of this.
Yeah, I mean, Christian McCaffrey, according to what's listed online, Christian McCaffrey's 1 inch taller and weighs 5 more pounds. So there's really not that big of a difference. Yeah, there's really not that big of a difference between the two, but he just seems so much smaller.
He does. Maybe he just has bigger pads. All right. Good old Austin Eckler. All right, consensus number 11, Leonard, punch you in the face, Fournette. You have Mr. Fournette all the way up at number 6. Enjoy him.
My guy.
He's awful. You talked.
My guy.
You sat here and lectured me about drafting people that are going to have an ability or opportunity to score touchdowns. I'm sorry. Yeah. Do you think that the Jacksonville Jaguars are a good football team? Do you think that they're going to be in the red zone a lot this year?
Sure. I had Gardner Minshew as a top 12 quarterback, so why wouldn't I have Leonard Fournette as a top 5 running back, or top 6? So here we go. All right.
I was wrong before, so I can be wrong now too!
You know what? When in doubt, double down. If the dealer's showing 20 and you got 11, just double down. Don't take a card. Double down.
All right, give me your best Leonard Fournette stat here to redeem this in some form or fashion, and right, make me believe.
So he was a number 9 running back last year. So I have him at 6. That's not a significant difference. Fair. We can start at that baseline. So number 9 running back last year, I have him ranked at 6. That's reasonable. He had 76 catches last year. Nobody really thinks about him as a receiving back. He had 100 targets, 76 catches, 500 yards. He had almost 1,200 rushing yards last year, which, I mean, sorry, yeah. So he had the 6th most rushing yards in the league last year. I have him ranked at 6 this year. The dude only had 3 total touchdowns, which is absurd. The dude is a beast. So the fact that he only had 3 touchdowns total and was still a top 10 running back, based on what I said at the beginning of this, is crazy. Now, I want you, so part of my rankings has to deal with what I think is progression.
It's because the Jaguars didn't score any points, which is why you don't want players on bad teams, so they don't get their little crappy fourth quarter junkyards that don't matter because they don't score.
He had 3 touchdowns.
He averaged 10.5 points from week 10.5 points per game from week 9 on. That's running back 28.
Yep, he's going to be better this year. Now, let me also say this. So, if you get the opportunities in the red zone, then generally you score. I mean, we already talked about Derrick Henry having 42 touches and scoring 13 times. Aaron Jones last year had 33 carries inside the 20-yard line and scored 14 times. Mark Ingram had 40 carries inside the 20-yard line and scored on 10 of them. Of those 3 guys that I've talked about, they're all scoring at a greater than a 25% clip on carries inside the red zone. Leonard Fournette had 43 carries inside the 20-yard line, and he only scored 3 times. Now, if he's able to bump that even up to 8%, if we're going to stick with the 25% rule, that's an increase of 7 touchdowns. He can be a top 5 running back. So, and he didn't have any receiving touchdowns. He had 0.
Do you know why he didn't score on those red zone touches? Because he was on a team that had a guy named Gardner Minshew as his quarterback or Nick Foles, and there were no offensive weapons, so they put eight men in the box. And I don't know if you know this, but they did not draft any other offensive weapons. I don't see them scoring any more points.
Yeah. Who else were they giving the ball to?
They were giving them the ball. They were able to run the ball between the 20s, and then when the field shortened up, they put the extra men in the box, and Leonard Fournette ran straight ahead and punched people to get out of the way and averaged 10 points for the last half the season and finished as outside of an RB2, outside of the top 24. So
he was the number 9 running back last year.
Yes, he had a great first half of the season. You're welcome. Thanks, Leonard Fournette. You're a GM. Keep doing what you're doing.
He is a top 10 running back easily, and that's why I have him at 6.
And that's why I have him at 17.
Yeah, he will be closer to 6 than he will be 17.
Go get him, Lenny. All right, what's 6 and 17? Cut it in half. 23 divided by 2, 12.5. Oh, well, does he finish in the top 12?
Yes, that's very easy. All right. I'll add it to our running list. Just destroy you on this year.
Well, it's early rankings. Maybe we should do, the final.
Well, yeah, you're going to look back on this and be like, I said Leonard Fournette wasn't going to be top 12.
Yeah, then somebody with Corona spit on him and he got suspended for half the season. Oh, man. Because he punched him in the face. Good old Lenny.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
While we are not threatening violence. This is a PG production. PG.
It is not. We talked about Dome a couple weeks ago, so...
Talked about targeting players who play in domes at the end of their season, Alex.
Oh. Yeah, that's what I meant.
You must be mistaken.
Oh my god.
Are you gonna edit that one out too? Like you edited out our conversation.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh no, I'm leaving all of this in. This all stays. This is all good stuff. All right, let's end this madness. Consensus, running back 12, James Conner. He is my running back 9. You insulted him and ranked him at running back 15.
Yeah. Wow. I did.
That's really bad. Hey, did you know that in 2018... he averaged on the season 19.4 points per game.
That's pretty good.
That would have been running back 2 last year.
It's true.
You have him at 15.
Yep. I might have been wrong. I was trying, like, so, I mean, we've talked about the Steelers in the past, and yeah, I think we're both... And so I feel like I was like trying to tamper down my expectations. I mean, he was the 6th best running back, 6th overall running back in 2018, even with the 19.4 that you just talked about or whatever that was. So, I mean, of all the players, I probably have him ranked too low. But, I mean, I'll be okay. But, you know, great playoff schedule, as we've talked about. Comes down to, can he stay healthy? I believe he's in a contract year. Don't quote me on that. So he does have things to play for. So, we have him. You have him higher than me, obviously, but I think overall our ranking is probably about correct based on the people we've talked about. I think I would take all those players over him.
Yeah, I think I would too. Just with the gap year in there. But I tell you what, if I'm in the 2nd round and he's sitting there winking at me, ooh boy, I'm gonna grab onto him. and I'm going to like it. It's going to feel nice.
Yeah, for just for reference, I mean, currently in the ESPN PPR cheat sheet, he's ranked the 22nd running back and 53 overall. so...
Who are these experts, man? Like, what is the deal?
Yeah, so, I mean, on this list, just for reference, they have Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 15, Gurley at 16, David Johnson 17, Chris Carson 18, Le'Veon 19, Melvin Gordon 20, Devin Singletary 21, James Conner 22, and Raheem Mostert, and Mark Ingram 23 and 24. Those are also, like, there's no reason why Conner and Mostert and Ingram should not be above, like, all of those guys that I just read off. As we'll kind of get into next time we chat, but you know, currently where James Conner's going, if you can get him in the fourth round, that's a league winning pick. There's no way he stays that low though.
No, that ADP has to change. It's criminal. That's criminal.
Yeah, but people get hurt and then people like forget about him.
Well, not only that, they like take it out on them as if it's their fault that they got hurt. Like, oh man, that's bad. But
I agree.
All right. And with that, I think we're going to leave our rankings there. Stay tuned for the next episode, running backs 13 through 24. Alex, do you have any final words?
I'm trying to think of something witty that has to do with stadiums, but I can't come up with anything.
Now, well, I'll turn your attention to our social media page. We are the Fantasy Football Sackos. Please follow us at the FF Sackos on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We are available wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, here.
Bye-bye.